again. Good morning. Give me just a moment. When I don't have a translator with me, I feel like I need to stand right in the middle. It's probably an OCD thing because I'm big on symmetry. Symmetry? Is that how you say it? So before I get into my notes, usually the first Sunday of the year, we are talking about the importance of the Word of God, and we did that this year. And then the second Sunday, or the second Sunday and a few Sundays after that, I will be talking about our vision as a church, what our mission statement is. This year, we did it a little different, and what I did was the second Sunday, I talked about our emphasis for the year, and that is evangelism, sharing our faith with others. And it's taking me just a second to get organized here. And so today, we're going to be talking about our mission statement and our vision for this year, our goals for this year. So as you turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, this would be a great time to silence your cell phone if you have not yet done so. In fact, I would suggest that you get in the habit of silencing your phone when you enter the building, and this will lessen distractions for you and for others. We are here to worship the Almighty, Sovereign, All-Loving, All-Knowing, and Holy True God. So let's not allow ourselves to be distracted during our worship together. And by the way, is there someone listening to keep me on track? Very good. The headphones blend with your hair, and I couldn't see them. do they make gray headphones? I would need gray. So, anyway, sorry. Okay. Let's read these verses in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This sermon is primarily for Christians. Now, there is great value in this sermon for non-Christians, because you need to know there are implications of what it means to follow Jesus. And this sermon will show you several of those implications. Christian author Tim Keller has said, one of the biggest obstacles in the way of people coming to Christianity, coming to faith in Christ, is that they think they know about it already. Most people have heard about Christianity, but they have not really invested large amounts of time in reading the Bible to see what it's really all about. I hope that today's sermon will help you see more clearly what it means to be a Christian and to live out daily the Christian life. So in this passage, there are five practices of the early church that we should be practicing today. And here are all five. Doctrine, fellowship, worship, prayer, and evangelism. And by the way, just so you know, whenever we use the headphones, I try to make it a habit to talk slower so I don't get too far ahead of the translator. So, these five. Doctrine is seen in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, we talked about this in the sermon on January 5th. So go to our website or YouTube channel to hear that sermon. When the New Testament church began, 50 days after Christ ascended to heaven, they did not have the Gospels written, they didn't have the book of Acts, or any of the letters that we have in the Bible now. Those began to be written at least 20 years later. But they did have the apostles who had been with Jesus and learning from him for about 3 years. And they had the authority to teach and eventually to write what we have now as the New Testament. The words that the church had at first were spoken words from the apostles. The words that we have now are written words from the apostles that were also inspired by God. Doctrine matters. There is such a thing as absolute truth, and this Bible is it. So knowing what the Word of God teaches is absolutely necessary to know Jesus, to commit to following him, and to live for him. So the early church was devoted to doctrine. It's a strong word, isn't it? Devoted to doctrine. We should be devoted to the doctrine of the Bible too. You should be reading God's Word and studying it regularly and consistently. Hearing a sermon on Sunday is good, especially if it's Tommy or Dustin. I'm not sure about mine, but hearing a Sunday on sermon is good, but it's not enough. Read the Bible for yourself. Study it for yourself. And we should also be studying it in groups with other believers. So we emphasize being a part of a small group Bible study. We announce this often, as I have just now. So please, talk to me about being a part of one of our small groups. And if the ones that we currently have do not fit in your schedule, we'll start one that does. This was a priority for the early church. And it should be a priority for us today. The second practice of the church is fellowship. Christians spending time with other Christians. Now, sometimes after worship here at Northwest, there will be people still here an hour after worship ends. I love to see that. When you come to worship on Sunday morning, I would encourage you to get here early and plan to stay late. Take the time to mingle and get to know one another. I also encourage you to plan meals with others in the church. Here I go. Susanna's translating today, so here I go, Susanna. I don't mean during worship. I did see a cartoon once where the pastor's preaching, and because the sermon had been so long, there's a pizza delivery guy looking for a guy who ordered pizza during the sermon. So, in my notes today, the sermon is longer than usual, and that's why today we're using the headphones, because that shortens the time of our sermon time. Does that make sense? Okay. So, plan meals with others in the church. Go out to lunch with another family after worship. Invite other Christians to your house. For those of you with kids involved in extracurricular stuff like sports or drama, let others know the schedule and invite them to come to those events with you. And by the way, I love that. I love going to your kids' stuff, things, events. So please let me know. I won't be able to make all of them, but I'll make all of them that I can. I thoroughly enjoy sitting in the stands or in the audience with the parents watching the kids do their thing. I thoroughly enjoy that, especially if they have a concession stand at the event. So, but anyway, and see, when you spend time with other Christians, now, this might be a little hard to do at the sporting events or, you know, drama things or whatever. But other times, when you spend time with other Christians, don't just talk about the weather or the Bears. Talk about how God is working in your life. Talk about your problems. Ask advice of one another. Of course, make sure the advice that you give is biblical. Challenge one another. Share life together with one another. This is important. For most people, our character is mainly shaped by our primary social community. Let me define that. Your primary social community, it's the people you spend the most time with. Of course, obviously your family, but then beyond your family, the people that you spend the most time with will affect you. The people with whom we eat, play, converse, study with. And our small groups, they are a priceless opportunity to have close fellowship. Our Friday morning group that meets here, I love it. We share our lives. Ours starts about 9:15-ish, 9:30-ish. Sometimes it goes to noon. I don't hold everybody captive along about 10:30, 10:45, 11:15, I start saying, if anybody needs to go. About 11, I'll say, you guys want me to keep going. So, but we're sharing our lives together. And we're closer to each other and closer to God as a result of being in a small group study. As Christians, our primary social community should be other Christians. We need the wisdom and maturity of other Christians speaking into our lives. Now, listening close to this next quote, these next several sentences, will help you understand why I disagree with the idea of leaving a local church because you got your feelings hurt. These next few comments may be strong, but I say them as one trying to speak the truth in love. I know our church is not perfect. And something, sooner or later, something will be said or done that bugs you. I didn't write this next sentence, but I agree with it. If you leave a church because someone hurt your feelings, then you love the idea in your mind of a perfect church, meaning a church the way you want it. You love that idea more than you do the imperfect people in a local church. That would be, sorry, Susanna, that would be like me saying, I will only love my wife, Pam, if she is the way I think she ought to be. And if she does something that bugs me, I'm out of here. Hopefully nobody does that in marriage. And we shouldn't do it in a church either. And by the way, back to my notes, middle of page 9, Susanna. By the way, no social group is perfect. So if I could just say, if you're going to hold the church to that standard, then you need to hold every other group you're part of to the same standard. Leave them too when they do something that bugs you. Something happens at work, quit. You know, if you're in a sports league or some club or some group, stuff happens at Planet Fitness all the time. Trust me. Talk to me after the service. I'll tell you some stories. And I've heard things that I thought in my mind at the moment, I really wish I hadn't heard that. There are some things you can't unhear, or in your mind, you can't unsee. But I keep going back because I want to reach the people that are there. I care about these guys. So I'm not going to quit just because they do something that bugs me. I love them, not the idea of who I think they should be. I'm not perfect. But Pam doesn't leave me every time I do or say something she disagrees with. And you might say, well, marriage is a deeper commitment than being a part of the church. And in a way, that's true. But there is a real possibility that your commitment to this local body of believers should be way deeper than it is. Just something to consider. You will not grow and mature as a Christian as much as you should and could apart from deep fellowship in a local church. The third practice of the church was worship. This is what is referred to in verse 42 when it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Virtually all scholars believe this is a reference to communion during times of group worship. And this is also referred to in verse 46, where they met in the temple courts. As the church grew and persecution against the church began, they were eventually expelled from meeting in the temple courts. So they met in homes, in fields, by streams, and wherever they could worship together. It wasn't until about 400 years later that churches began to have buildings that were dedicated for worship and for church use. Worship is ascribing worth to God. It's also ascribing worthiness. He is worthy of our praise. Worship is recognizing that He is God and He is worthy of our praise and adoration. Worship includes scripture reading, prayer, singing, an explanation of the scripture that we call a sermon, and maybe other things from time to time. The purpose of this Christian community that we call the local church is to glorify God by our worship and our lives. I'm going to read that one again. The purpose of this Christian community that we call a local church is to glorify God by our worship and our lives. We do not go to church just to hear a sermon. We go to church to worship God. One pastor has said, if you've ever said, I didn't get anything out of worship today, then you worshiped for the wrong reason. Worship isn't for you. It's for God. Of course, most worship services also include elements of fellowship, edification or teaching, and evangelism. And there are benefits to worship. But we don't worship to please ourselves. Our motive is to bring glory and pleasure to our Creator. And I think he's right about that. Philip Yancey wrote a book called Church, Why Bother? And he said, I don't always find church fulfilling and rarely find it entertaining. I have to insert here, sometimes Pastor Tom's sermons are very entertaining. But they're always deep, too. So, okay, let me start this quote again. Okay, he said, Philip Yancey said, I don't always find church fulfilling and rarely find it entertaining, but that's not why I go. I go to meet God in the presence of other Jesus followers. I go to be reminded and challenged of the radical nature of the call of Jesus. I go to find a place to exercise my gifts within the body. I go to learn from people who represent a diversity of age, gender, social class, and race. Those of us who attend church could find more appealing ways to spend Sunday morning. Watching sporting events, for example. We make the effort to go to church not because we have it together, but because we share a common need a need for God. Christian writer Claire Cloninger writes, and I think you'll be able to identify with this quote, okay? She writes, "I must confess that there are days when my circumstances don't seem to lend themselves to worship. Days when I feel so caught up in my own problems, so pulled down by my own depression, that entering into worship would almost feel hypocritical. What am I to do those days? On those days, I am to worship anyway. I am to bring to the Lord what the Bible calls sacrificial praise. So through Jesus, let us always offer to God our sacrificial praise, coming from lips that speak his name." And the last sentence of that quote is from Hebrews 13:15. I love churches. I love imperfect churches, because there are no perfect churches. As long as they are proclaiming the biblical gospel of the grace of Jesus, staying true to basic biblical doctrine, I love churches. Even when their style of worship is radically different from my preferences, in the early church, there was never the idea of being a Christian without being deeply committed to a local church. Being deeply involved and committed member of a local church is the full expectation of the New Testament. The New Testament does not envision solitary religion. Regular assembly for worship is found and taught everywhere in the New Testament. And if you don't believe that, please call me this week, and I will calmly and patiently and lovingly prove it. Okay, don't have time now. The fourth practice is prayer. Now, Pastor Tommy talked about this in last Sunday's sermon, so again, go to our website or YouTube channel and listen, especially if you missed it. You should be a person of prayer by yourself, daily, and throughout the day. You should have times of day where you schedule prayer into your life. Plan to spend time with God daily. Make it a habit. And you should also pray to God throughout the day. I'm often praying when I'm doing things around my house or around my office and when I'm driving. Talking to God with respect and often listening. Just listening. Sorry, Susanna. I ran across an absolutely profound article this last week that blew my mind. And if you want to, I can send you this article, but you'll have to text me or email me because I will not remember to send it. But the author that wrote this article said, "I often find myself standing in a line, even, I can't remember if she said this or not, but I remember thinking, sitting at a red light." Just different times in our life when we're waiting, we got something we're about to do, but we have to wait a little bit. And she always finds herself, I think it was a she who wrote it, always finds herself doing this. So I am, that article convicted me. So I am making it a point to be in the moment now. Right now. And not feel like I'm wasting time if I happen to be at a red light. I can see people walking down the sidewalk and I can pray for them. I can notice stores and think, yeah, I need to stop in there one of these days and see how good their hot dogs are. Just observing nature. Americans are not comfortable with silence. We always need music in the background. We need to be doing something. We need to be checking something. If nothing else, let's make sure we keep scrolling that Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and whatever else. And I'm challenging you. There'll probably be a sermon on this before the year's out. I'm challenging you. Put some of that stuff down and just take a moment and enjoy life. I marvel. Now, I did this recently. I was at a place where there was an event, and I knew the parents would want to see it. Their children were involved, so I recorded it, and I texted it to them. But I'm amazed at how often there will be some major event going on, and everyone is more concerned about recording it than they are experiencing it. Huh? If Michael Jordan ever comes out of retirement, which I think he's probably still good enough, he could do it. So there. And I get the chance to watch him, I'm not going to be worried about getting my phone focused. My phone's going to be in my pocket, and I'm going to be watching him. When I come home from a day here, or Pam comes in from shopping or something, and I don't get out my phone and record her coming in the door so I can remember it, I experience it. Okay? Back to today's regularly scheduled sermon. So these five spiritual practices are very interconnected. For instance, one of the best ways to really develop a burden for someone who doesn't know Jesus is to pray for them often and regularly. Which leads to the last point, evangelism. We talked about this on January 12th. So go back and listen to that sermon if you missed it. Or if you think, it will help you to hear it again. In verse 42, we see that evangelism was happening constantly. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that is the main theme for 2025 here at Northwest. Now, let me pause again here. This is not a guilt trip. And this is not expecting you to win people to Christ daily, because it happened in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 was an unbelievable, pivotal, or important moment in the beginning of the New Testament church. God poured out his spirit in such a powerful way. This was in Jerusalem. And in many ways, all the events leading up to Jesus being crucified, buried, then rising the third day, and word spreading, the city was primed. They were prepared to hear the good news of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, the first part of the chapter, when Peter preached that first sermon and there were many people listening, it was electric. It was powerful. Oh, could you imagine being there? So we cannot compare that day to today here. This is why it's important to build friendships and relationships with unbelievers so they can be prepared to hear the gospel. Coming to faith in Christ is very complex. There are many layers, nuances of how each person comes to Christ. And so as you build friendships with the people in your life, you think of each one individually, and you pray for them, and you try to figure out what's important to them, what's primary in their life, what problems are they facing, what questions do they have, and you nurture that friendship for the benefit of that person. I don't know that we will ever see a time again where people are coming to faith daily. I'd love to. And I want to work toward that. But that doesn't mean it's any less important. In fact, it makes it even more important. So this is our main theme for 2025, sharing our faith with others. To help you, I'm back in my notes, Susanna, to help you remember this, we have several different pictures on the back table. Several different ones. With this verse on it from Matthew 28. And there's some in the lobby, too, the back table here. And we want you to take some home, put one on your fridge, on your mirror, maybe on the dash of your car. I don't know, just take a few and put them where you'll be reminded that we are to go into the circles of our lives and be an influence for Christ to the people around us. Every aspect of living the Christian life is an outgrowth of the Great Commandment. And I'll show it to you in just a minute. In fact, I'll go ahead and put it up. And if you truly love your neighbor as yourself, you will want them to know the joy of being reconciled to God, of being forgiven, and of knowing Jesus. So in your bulletin, there is a worship. In your worship bulletin, there is a flyer for the Super Bowl party. Keep a few close by wherever you go. I keep a few in my car. I keep some folded in my pocket when I'm at Planet Fitness. I even keep one in my wallet. And with this event coming up, and I'm in conversation with my buddies at Planet Fitness, I ask, You doing anything special for the Super Bowl? And whether they are or not, I say, well, I'm getting together with some of my friends and we're watching the game on a big screen at our church. And if they show interest, I say, I happen to have a flyer with me. And I give it to them. And I say, hang on to this in case you're able to come. Now, I want you to look at this flyer, by the way. It says there will be refreshments. But it doesn't say who will bring the refreshments. But you know who is bringing them, right? All of you. Exactly. And bring plenty to share. We're going to be here over 4 hours. So bring plenty. The flyer doesn't say to bring any because we're using these flyers to invite guests. And we want them to feel like they have to bring something. If they ask if they can bring anything, say sure, if you'd like, but it's up to you. Now, some will say no to the invitation. And I've gotten no's. But not one person has been angry with me for asking. Not one. In fact, they feel good about being asked. They do. And for those who say no, well, I'm just one step closer to the next thing I'm going to ask them to attend. And by the way, I'm also asking them, think we could meet up after we work out, maybe over at Cozy Corner and grab a bite to eat? I've had one accept that invitation, and we had a good spiritual discussion. And one of these days, some of them will say yes, and they will follow through. Some of them will say yes, but not attend. That's okay. I'm not mad or disappointed in them in the least. I just say, no problem. Maybe next time. And by the way, Utes, there's a flyer in here for the Ute MORP, M-O-R-P. It's not a secret what MORP is it? It's prom spelled backwards. Yeah. It's not a prom, it's a MORP. So you guys can take these flyers, and as you're developing friendships at school, or on the team, or whatever it is you do, you can say, you know, there's something coming up you might want to consider going to with me. And ask them. And by the way, coming up May 2nd is one of the coolest things that the Utes can ask their friends to come to. It's the Ute Parent Banquet. May 2nd? I thought I checked the calendar. Okay, sometime this year, there's a Ute Parent Banquet that the Utes have every year. And that's the banquet where the parents come and the kids serve them and wait on them, the kids, the Utes. And that is a cool event to invite your friends to, you know, say, you want to do something really cool that'll blow your parents' minds? Invite them to this event. Don't tell them unless you have to, but tell them they're thoroughly going to enjoy what you're going to do. And when they see you serving them and bringing food to them and asking them what they would like and just waiting on them, trust me, parents like that. So anyway, so we have these events at Northwest to give you opportunities to invite people to attend. And unbelievers see these events as low risk, meaning it's just a fun time and not a religious sales pitch. And we will see some people come to faith as a result of attending some event here at Northwest. But the vast majority of people coming to faith will come to faith as a result of relationships with Christians, not as a result of a program or an event. As a result of you building a friendship and sharing your life with them. And as God opens the door of their heart, you sharing your church family and your faith with them . Evangelism is not an activity. It's not a thing to accomplish on a to-do list. Evangelism is an attitude. It's a desire that results in sharing the great news that you have found with others. I've made some friends the last few years. I love those guys. I care about them. I care about them. And my desire, my love for them, my wanting for them is so strong, it gives me the confidence, the impetus, the strength to actually invite them or to share when they ask questions, to give answers. If you're truly a Christian and you've been rescued from death and hell, and your heart doesn't ache for people who don't know Christ, you may need to check your spiritual pulse. We must look outside the walls of this building to reach people far from God. We got to go get them. A self-centered church will never reach Belcragen for Christ. So my last point of this sermon is to remind you again of our church mission statement. Whoops, wrong way. I messed up, Josh. I told you there's no perfect church, right? There's no perfect pastor either. So, can you put it on the church mission statement? I'm apparently not hitting the right button. Thank you. To build a community of believers truly committed to first being and then doing all that's implied in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Every phrase of this mission statement is based on passages in the Bible, especially the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is found in several places, one of which is Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commandment is also found in several places, one of which, and the one we're focusing on, is Matthew 28:19-20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Let's live our lives, our Christianity, in the context of Christian community, the local church. When we decide to believe on Jesus without making a commitment to him and his church, we become nothing more than a fan. A fan is not a follower. Let's truly be followers of Jesus. And as the worship team comes up, let me challenge you. Let's live our lives in the context of the broader community around us. A neighborhood, Belmont Cragen, a neighborhood that is full of people who need Jesus. Live your Christian life in such a way that it makes it easy for others to believe in God. Be real, be authentic. Genuinely love people. By the way, people are not a project. They're an individual person made in the image and likeness of God who needs God. And the only way you can find him is through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Over this next year, I'll be putting out articles. I'll be sending ideas, book suggestions. I might even do a vlog, a video log, a time or two on our church YouTube page, just suggesting, here's some ways. I'm not talking about, by the way, you guys need to hold me that now that I've said it. What have I got myself into here now? Sharing Christ with others, a lot of people are intimidated. And you really don't need to be. There's a few of the guys that I've met at Planet Fitness that if I don't say something of a more spiritual nature, they're like, are you okay? There's some of them that don't know I'm a pastor yet. And I don't lead with that because it, long story, off the subject. So don't be intimidated by this. Here's what you simply do, okay? Here's a good start. You know somebody who doesn't know Jesus that you care about? Anybody? I know a bunch of people that I really care about that don't know Jesus. First thing I start doing is praying for them. I mean it. I got a list. And I pray for them. And then I look for opportunities to just spend time with them. Everybody can do that so far, right? You're probably already doing that with people who don't know Jesus. And then you pray for God to open that door. The Apostle Paul did this. He even wrote to churches and asked them, pray for a door to open so I can share Jesus. But the next step is important. You got to be looking and paying attention for when God does open that door. And you got to have the courage to step into it. You don't have to be preachy. You don't have to be pushy. I hope none of you consider me to be a pushy guy. But you do need to have the courage, based on the love for that person, to figure out a way to tell them about Jesus. This is doable. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. We really do thank you for the example of the New Testament church. We can read these pages in Acts, and it shows us this can be done. The church did it then. The church can do it now. So help us to live these five practices. And this year, help us especially focus on sharing the beautiful, wonderful, saving name of Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.